writing is good. He's always wanted to do it, and now he is. That's good. Only who knew it hurt so much? Stephen King, Billy Summers.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Kayla. How's it going?
Doing okay. How are you?
Oh, you know, I don't know if you've checked the league standings, but I'm currently in first, so I'm pretty great.
Yeah, I haven't checked them because I'm fully aware that I'm not even close to the top, so I just kind of pretend it's not happening. So congratulations. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah, for all of our listeners, we were going to record last week, but Kayla was a little bit butthurt about getting beat by me, so I had to postpone a week until some feelings resolved.
Pretty much exact quote when I, you know, texted you hypothetically. I'm just super butthurt.
No, none of that happened. We were just enjoying the end of summer, and Kayla was finishing Billy Summers.
Yes. Yep. Finally got it done. You beat me to it, so I had to catch up.
You're like 3 books ahead on short stories, so I would say it evens out, but I don't think that really evens out.
Yeah, we'll say it evens out. That's good enough. Feeling generous.
Yeah. Well, have you recovered from Denver?
Mostly. Yeah, mostly I've recovered from Denver. We had an awesome time with the whole crew.
Except Dave.
But yeah, had a great time. So yeah, happy to see you guys again. It's been too long.
I don't think that joke will ever land because I think Dave's too old to know how a podcast works. So
Probably. He's probably like, what's a podcast? And you have to be like, it's like radio.
he's trying to find it on his gramophone.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Dave.
we are up to date. This book came out less than 2 months ago, and here we are covering it. So, doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm very proud of us. I thought when we dive into this, we could do a little bit up at the front end, just no spoilers, just letting people know what we think about it, giving a quick rundown of the plot, so they kind of know what to expect a little bit. And then I thought we'd give a nice little warning and then go a little bit more spoilerific.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, cool. Billy Summers is really recent, so a lot of people probably haven't had the chance to read it yet, but that's okay. Definitely recommend reading this one. Not one that you want to skip. But I'll give a little rundown of the plot here. So Billy Summers is the title of the book. It's also the name of the main character. He's a hitman doing the one last job. You know, it's a well-tread genre there. But in order to complete this last job as a hitman, he has to kind of blend into the community a little bit. His cover story is that he's a writer, writing his first novel, so he has to work in an office building. And in the office building is his place where he's going to take that shot to hit his target, who was also a hitman. So he has to kind of blend into the community a little bit. So we get to witness Billy doing that and get to witness what happens to him as he's writing his novel, which he actually begins to do, and what happens to him after he's makes that shot.
And there's a lot that happens to him after he makes that shot, and we will leave it at that until we get into the spoiler zone.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But what did you think about Billy, the main character here?
Billy the character. I loved Billy the character. I thought he was a great character. There's a lot I love about this book as a whole, but I thought Billy's backstory was super cool and well written. I really like how Billy is able to play dumb and convince his employers that he's just kind of, this idiot savant who's good at at sniping people, and doesn't have any other higher level thoughts.
Right. Just reads his Archie comics. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yes. When he is in fact reading old French writers. I liked Billy Summers, the man, a lot. How about you?
Yeah, I did too. I always love and kind of like a little sucker for like the hitman with a heart of gold sort of thing.
I'm a sucker for any hitman type media, and and then of course this isn't, you know, the job gone wrong is probably the most common hitman type of plot. So but it was very fun to see it in the hands of a really good writer.
Yeah, for sure. And I like that his cover wasn't just, you know, he has to do a lot of action as he's getting ready or people are constantly coming after him. He has to navigate being a whole different person, having a whole different identity, which he's used to doing, but on a different level. He has to get to know his neighbors. He has to get to know the people in the building. And I really liked that. I liked that Billy is not able to really show himself to everybody around him, but then he starts writing this novel and he decides to make it kind of a semi autobiographical story to start off with, and we get to learn more about him at that point too. So we're kind of getting the two layers. So we get Billy telling his backstory, talking about his childhood, his time in the military, and then we get the Billy who's pretending to be just this kind of regular neighborhood guy trying to write his first book. And then we have Billy the Hitman kind of layered on over that too. So I love that. And King, of course, being like the master of creating good characters, handles that beautifully, of course.
He really does. I think, I'm super interested in this one. What do you think? This one to me is just like screaming for a film adaptation.
There are so many
characters that I would love to like do fantasy casting on in this book. any story with this many mobsters, you can really load up that cast.
Yeah, and there's such characters too, right? So like the other mobsters around him, you know, there's the mobster that he interacts with the most, right? So you know the big kind of tough mobster guy. Then you have the guy who's kind of the obviously picked out to be the fall guy, who's not really used to this, but he's still like kind of involved with the mob a little bit on the side. And I just love that kind of layering of these characters. Oh, just so much fun.
Now, like you said, it's super interesting that, yeah, he spends this whole kind of first half or so of the book building his kind of pretend life, and then it kind of quickly has to get thrown away.
Yeah, absolutely. And he even plans for that too. Like he's fully aware that he's building up this character that he's going to have to abandon really soon. As soon as he's done with his hit, he's got to go. And he's hoping to escape with his ton of money. And he's planning ahead for that a little bit. But he also kind of has another layer on that side of that, this other kind of character that he's building as well. So I don't want to get too spoilery with it, but
yeah,
they're layers.
for sure. Yeah, and that was super interesting. And honestly, pretty confusing to me at first as to like... Mm-hmm. Why he would need that, but then yeah, it quickly kind of comes together and makes sense.
Yeah, and I love how at the center of it is this memoir where you get to see the real Billy. I just think that's really smart of King to do and makes Billy a lot easier to care about, whereas sometimes hitmen and TV shows can come across being, you know, just very one level kind of characters.
Yeah,
but he's doing the Barry thing, right? Where it's a very like interesting character that has a lot of different personality traits that you just come to love pretty quickly.
Yeah, for sure. That you reminded me. I need to finally watch that show. It's been on my list for a while, and I haven't dove into it yet.
It's very good, and they're filming season 3, I think, right now. It got put on hold for a bit, of course. So, yeah, Aaron keeps asking me, aren't we supposed to catch up on a show? Is the new season of Barry out? It's like, no, not yet. So, hoping to get back to it soon, because it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. I finally recently gained access to HBO Go, so I can finally dive into that now.
Oh, wonderful. That's awesome. But yeah, if you love Hitman, got to watch Barry and got to read Billy Summers.
Yes. And yes, I won't go into all of the other Hitman movies that I love, but yeah. Well, do you think that's enough superficial discussion? And now we should give the big warning for anyone else. Is there anything else that you want to discuss surface level before we start throwing out spoilers left and right?
I don't think so. I think mostly we just want to recommend the book. So if you haven't read it yet, check it out.
Great book. Highly recommended. As we've discussed a lot on these recent episodes, we both have really liked a lot of King's writing kind of post 2006 or 2007-ish. But I think this one is a really strong entry even in the recent stuff.
For sure. And if somebody you know or even yourself is like, I don't know if I like Stephen King, I don't like scary stuff.
Yes.
There are no vampires.
There are no haunted cell phones.
Right. Yes. Aliens, none of that stuff.
So. Yes. There's not the shop or the institute are not involved.
Correct.
Yes. And there is absolutely no connection to the Dark Tower universe.
Yeah, not that we're aware of anyways.
Yeah.
Please, God,
yeah,
no.
if so, I definitely missed that connection.
It's possible that it was there and I just willfully ignored it. Yeah. That's also possible, too.
Tore out those pages and threw them away.
Yeah. Oh, Roland's in here? I didn't see that.
Well, yes.
Oh gosh! All right.
Anyway,
spoiler time.
Yeah. So if you want to read it and you haven't, stop now. And all podcasts live for eternity, is my understanding. So you can come back and listen to the rest.
Yes, that was my understanding as well.
And it's a good one. You should finish it in about 2 weeks. So we'll see you then.
Yeah, that's about right. So basically, where we leave off from the previous conversation is just. Billy makes the shot. He kills his target. And instead of going with the mobsters, they have this whole plan worked out, you know, where he's supposed to go. He has a whole other character that he's built, and he has an apartment that he's rented and, you know, credit cards and all of the stuff. So he's ready to go with this whole other character. So he goes in hiding from both the cops and the mobsters, who he's aware are going to kill him. Really, they're going to get rid of him. And then we meet Alice. How did you feel about this part of the book?
Yeah, the Alice thing kind of comes out of left field, and I was highly skeptical of it for a while. But then, like, when I finished it and I looked back, I was like, well, yeah, that makes sense, because if the entire, you know, second half, and it might even be a little bit longer than half of it after he makes the shot, if the entire part of that book was just Billy acting alone, like, that would be pretty boring, you know, because he's pretty smart and efficient at what he does. So that kind of changes things from, like, maybe another 100 pages to another full, like, 250 pages. So, you know, it kind of gives him a companion, and you know, gives us kind of a B plot to follow. And so, yes, although initially skeptical, I ended up being a fan of the Alice storyline. What did you think?
Same. I was really skeptical. I'm always skeptical of sidekicks. and as soon as I got about halfway through and he's bunkered down, I looked at the page count and I was like, okay, something big is going to happen. Something's going to throw him off course. And I think the addition of Alice and him having to help her and her being in like a very traumatized state after this rape that she experiences, and Billy pulls her off the street, basically. I think that that really allows him to exercise the things that he's been building throughout the first part of the book, where he's having to get to know these people in his neighborhood and in the office building and have to be a human and not just, you know, be a super serious, quiet hitman. He has to care about people, and he does develop relationships with them and care about them. And I think that if they didn't have a character like Alice come in at this point in the story, that would all be for nothing. You know,
It would all feel kind of cheapened because it clearly like didn't really matter.
Right, exactly. So her having to come in, throw him off of his plan, is perfect. I thought it worked out really nicely. And you're right, when you look back on the story and what she added to the story, I thought that that was really good, really smart that he did that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I completely agree. So then we go through the whole kind of, like you said, they're bunkered down for what feels like a pretty long time.
I think that was the only thing. Yeah, it was a little slow.
Yeah, yeah, that felt like the only part of the book that kind of dragged a little bit for me.
Sure.
But it does give, I guess it gives a chance to get more of Billy's backstory through his novel, because that's when he does a lot of the writing is when they're in hideout there.
That's true. That's true. And then he shares his story with Alice, which I think is really important. You know, he's been writing this obviously for himself, but he allows himself to open up and let her read the book, which I think is really helpful. So that part was a little bit slow, but when they realize that he has to leave really quickly, I love when it speeds up at that point, and he's like, Alice comes with him, and then they go to my favorite, who is Bucky. I love Bucky.
Yes.
Love Bucky.
Yes. But Bucky is a fun character, and he lives in a really cool place.
Yes. Yes. They travel. It takes them a while to get to Bucky too, which is fine. You know, I kind of like they're in the hotels, they're eating at diners, they're kind of running around and, you know, trying to be secretive and disguising, you know, she has to dye her hair and all of the stuff.
Sure. Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. Proper amount. It's not like they magically teleport to Bucky's place, but right. We also, you know, we don't spend another 100 pages getting there. It's a nice quick kind of, you know, it's definitely a montage in the film adaptation.
For sure, for sure. Lots of jumping out of the truck and, you know, running around and drinking coffee and stuff like that. Yeah, a lot of that, which is good.
Probably like a Steve Miller Band song.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. We should write that. That sounds perfect. Yeah.
Call us, Steve. We'll
call us. We got it. We'll work with you. It'll be fine. And then they get to Bucky's house. Bucky is Billy's connection, almost like an agent in a weird way.
His go-between like you said. Yeah. Basically his agent. He's coordinates the jobs.
Yep. And he lives
Handler, on a I guess mountain. That's his proper title, right?
Yeah, right. And he lives on the side of a mountain in Colorado, where this is my favorite touch, where you can see the kind of burned remains of the Overlook Hotel from where he lives. So cool. I loved that.
Yes, with a haunted painting in a shed there.
Yes. Oh, those little touches were just so much fun. You know, he always does that, and it's always fun to catch those things, but that was really, really cool.
Yeah. It was cool. And yeah, I was wondering if they would do some temporal time twist or, you know, where, in the end, Billy or Alice ends up, watching the kind of shootout type thing from the end of Dr. Sleep. From across the valley. But we didn't get that weird. We didn't get that meta here.
I'm glad that he pulled that back. I'm sure he thought of it, but I'm glad that he pulled that back.
Yeah. I think Yeah, I think anyone with a passing familiarity would have, even if they had not read The Shining, they've probably seen the movie and they would recognize that reference. But yeah, if he started burying Dr. Sleep references in there, that might be a bit much for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. He's done it before, but yeah, this one time it was like, all right, good job, buddy. You did it.
But you resisted. Yes. So yeah, anyway, yeah. Very cool. They're there in Sidewinder or wherever it is. Mm-hmm. And yes. It's been some fun time there with, yeah, like you said, Bucky's a fun character, very well written. And but then it's business time again.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I loved that scene where he has to go to Nick's house. Is that right?
Yes, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah, the big mobster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved that scene. It was very, you know, classic hitman movie scene, which was a lot of fun.
It is, yeah. As compared to a lot of hitman media, it was just like shockingly easy for him to infiltrate the kind of... cheesy mansion there. Didn't you think so?
That's true, except for I love the old lady with the gun. That's a good one. This kind of old lady out gardening and she turns out works for him and recognizes Billy, and oh yeah, that was pretty fun. But yeah, besides that, pretty easy. And pretty easy to get information out of Nick too, who seems to very quickly be on Billy's side. But
yeah,
I do like how we kind of find out what the deal is, that it's a layered hit, right? So the person who hired Billy is above all of these other guys. He's a media mogul, right? And he is a child molester. And I think that that's where at first I was really suspicious of, like, why is Nick on his side? But then I realized, like, oh, nobody likes this guy because he's a horrible person.
Right.
He's not really too committed to protecting this guy. Whereas I feel like in a lot of hitman movies, everybody is weirdly committed to their boss.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So this made it a little bit different, which I thought was interesting. And so at that point you're like, oh, Billy has to now go and kill this other person now too.
Right.
So,
yeah. Time for more killing. And yeah. And this is the only part of the book where I am still a little bit skeptical of it, is not the fact that Nick was working for someone else, but kind of the character that his name is Clerky, right? Roger Clerky.
Yes.
The kind of the character that this guy is painted as. It really seemed to me like Stephen King just really wanted to find a way to kill Rupert Murdoch in this book.
Thinking that the whole time.
Oh, I mean, this guy is totally Rupert Murdoch.
Like, he totally is.
The physical description of him, like, there is no doubt.
Not even a doubt. Yeah, he didn't even try to, like, make
it. Which, hey, man, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of people who would like to see Rupert Murdoch killed in an embarrassing fashion. So yeah, go for it, Steve. But yeah, this is the only point where I was like, okay, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he needed to be, you know, basically Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, but yeah, not even any sort of nuance or you know, guess about who that might be in the book. But yeah,
yeah.
That...
And then again, if he didn't need, you know, if I think Billy already had a good enough reason to kill him, which is basically that he had ruined Billy's life. But
right.
If that wasn't good enough, yeah, it turns out this guy sleeps with like 12-year-old girls, so
yeah,
right. A little bit over the top.
Yeah, definitely. Is it? Yeah, I felt like that was a little strange to, like, make him super duper evil and, like, try to kill his own son because his own son had all of this information on him. And it became, you know, there was a lot about the family and that sort of situation where it was just, it could have been left where, yeah, he tried to kill Billy after Billy finished his job and stiffed him on his money. So that's not fair. Go kill him. You're a head man.
I also haven't decided yet who gets cast into that role. I see it as like a hybrid of like Philip Seymour Hoffman and Don Rickles. Unfortunately, they are both dead. So I don't know. I don't know who gets the role.
We'll put Christian Bale in some prosthetics and it'll be fine, right?
Yeah, just kind of go the Vice route, sure.
Yeah, sure. That's evil enough. He can do it again. And then Nick is in, or Nick, Billy is injured in that
right. Yes.
Situation.
So Rupert dies. Rupert dies. Alice kills him.
You're right.
And yes, and they're leaving, and Large Marge makes her return.
Yeah. I thought that a few times. I saw her name was Marge. I was like, oh man, it's gonna be stuck in my head the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Billy's injured, very clearly is going to die. It seems pretty obvious what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he gets gut shot and he refuses to go to a doctor. So there's really only one outcome there.
Yeah, and she drives him back to Billy, to Bucky's. And I really like that she makes up this kind of fake story to Bucky about what happened to Billy. You know, this kind of idea about what Billy would have done if he had lived.
Right.
I love that. And then Bucky's like, okay, well, what really happened?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. It fits in really well.
Were you fooled by that at any point, or were you into it the whole time?
No, it made sense because the book, you know, he had been writing this book the whole time, and then she's kind of writing the ending of the book. So it made sense to me that weaved itself back in there. Yeah. So no, I wasn't fooled, but I thought it was a really nice touch.
Yeah, same here. It's kind of a combination of, well, no, that, you know, this has been a pretty, you know, pretty realistic book, and that gunshot does not result in that outcome. and then just a realization of, I've still got like 40 pages left here, so we can't be wrapping things up already.
Right, exactly. But I do love that, you know, Billy's death, and you know, the way he saved Alice and the way that he treated her throughout, like, allows her to stay with Bucky for a little bit and then presumably begin a new life, a new existence, having this like crazy experience in her life for a little while. But yeah, I thought it was a really nice ending. You know, people criticize his endings a whole lot, but I thought this one was really nice.
I agree. Yeah. I think, it felt very satisfying when you close the book.
Yeah, absolutely. But
speaking of endings, is it time for crowns?
I think so. You go ahead.
All right. I love this one. And like I said, the Rupert Murdoch plot is a little bit ridiculous. But like, I'm a hitman for a good, or I'm a sucker for a good hitman story. And this is a great one. I have 4.5 crowns, and this is maybe like a top 5 all-time King book for me.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's so cool. I didn't expect a top 5 kind of designation there.
I don't know. I need to assess my list in light of this, but yeah. So to me, it's not quite at like the Shining Pet Sematary level, but it's real close.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to go for 4 crowns. I really, really liked this book a lot. I loved the characters in it. As always, he's got perfect character development. He did a really great job. I thought it was a little slow at some points. Some additional plot points and characters that I thought were pretty unnecessary, but you know, King handles it well and you just learn to roll with it. So, I'm going to settle on 4 crowns.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, do you have anything else?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't either. So we will see you guys all next time, whenever that is. And we will finally, I guess, start the short stories.
Yeah, unless we get a surprise novel drop in the next couple weeks or so. Yeah. We'll be back to short stories.
Never say never.
I know.
All right. Well, thanks, Kayla.
All right, bye.
See ya.
For more of our Stephen King adventures, please follow us on Instagram at The Year of King.